Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak. Go!
It's always a good answer. Oh yeah, the Decibel Geek Podcast. I'm Aaron Camaro. There's Chris Sinzak right over there.
How's it going?
It's going good, man. Real good. I'm ready. This is we had so much fun last week.
We did, and we'll talk about that in a second. Just to give you guys an idea of what's going on, and you saw the artwork and the title of the episode, you might be thinking, well, you guys talked about Ride for Dime months ago.
Right.
Well, as many of you probably know, today, the day that this is being released, is the 10th anniversary of the loss of Dimebag Darrell.
Can you believe that?
No,
I can't. 10 years.
I still clearly remember, you know, everything that happened that morning that I found out.
Yeah, I remember. I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, because I woke up.
Devastating news.
Woke up that morning, saw it on the internet. It was our first winter in this house that I'm in, that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was devastating. It's one of those things where you remember exactly where you were when you heard.
Yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, this is a very sad day, but.
But the idea was, you know, the Ride for Dime thing was a celebration, you know, of the memory. And, you know, this is the Decibel Geek Podcast. We're never here to bring you down.
No.
Never. You know, and so today is going to be a celebration of the memory of Dimebag Darrell. And we saved this episode. Right. This is basically a day in the life of Decibel Geek, as throughout the day between Chris and I, you know, hanging out at the Ride for Dime. Chris was there all day long, right, and deep into the night. And I got there a little bit later for the concert portion of the evening and hung out a little bit later than him. But we had a great time all day long and got to meet some really great people.
We did.
Who were all there and just loving on Dimebag Darrell. Everybody. It was such a family atmosphere there. It was just amazing.
Yeah, so you're going to hear kind of a like a tale of the tape, sort of. We'll go in and out of the segments, and we'll kind of guide you along through the process, and
yeah,
you'll get to feel like you were there with us.
Heck yeah.
Get to hear a lot of motorcycle engines throughout, as I noticed as I was editing. Like, you could hear that clearly.
Heck yeah, there's a lot of that. That's
so it's
good.
Cool. But yeah, we've got to get Geeks of the Week, and man, you guys really loved old Toddzilla, man.
Man, everybody loves Toddzilla. We had such a good time hanging out with him just the other night.
Just the other night, yeah. We got to intro him and his band on stage. We'll get to that in a bonus track. So many great responses. And, yeah, my favorite was one listener saying he actually pissed himself. So I'm not going to say the name just because in case he doesn't want it known. But, yeah, it was... it really
just
cracked
awesome.
A lot of people up.
Yeah, the story was he was drinking some beers. Yep. He was drinking a few more, really had to take a leak. You know, was listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast, was riveted.
To
Toddzilla's stories, yes, as we all were, and got to the part where he told the second story about Ace Frehley, and the gentleman, he just couldn't, the laughter and the bladder control, it all went at the same time.
Yeah, well, when you hear Todd's Ace Frehley impression, that guy said, "I'm going to have to kiss his dick." That was pretty freaking funny, man.
So if you're just joining us this week because you're big Pantera fans and you love Dimebag Darrell, definitely go back and check that out and check out all our other shows. We've had Chad Lee on before, and he's told us some amazing Pantera stories.
That was a full Pantera episode. So
this is the Decibel Geek Podcast. We'll make you piss your pants, and we're going to talk about Pantera.
Right. Let me do Geeks of the Week. These are the people that shared and retweeted the Toddzilla episode from last week. Here we go. Stuart Balk, Midnight Movie Cowboys Podcast, Matt Ashcraft, Mike Blunt, Jason Thomas Broderick, Howard Tate, Gino Ames, Cal Hens, Aaron Baker, Brian Bates, Paul Stamm, David Alpizar, Brad Kalmanson, Joe Lascon, Justin A6, Sit and Spin with Joe, Shane Hebert, Brent Walter, Warren Money, Jason Ramilly, Derek Novak, The Riff of the Day, Chad Pollock, Brian Knapp, Alicia Martin, Lynn Bone, Cassius Morris, Jack Broad, Adam Cox, Raw Magazine, Hot Metal Magazine, Loudmouth Column, Faces Rocks Magazine, Steve Newton, Music Mags and Wax, Daniel Chaput, Hoops, and Pep Pep.
Wow. Cassius Morris?
Yeah.
That guy's a celebrity.
He's a superstar in the podcasting world.
Wow. He shared us.
I told him, I said, remember us little people, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
On your way to the top. Hook it up with Adam Carolla.
Very cool.
You don't get any bigger than that in the podcasting world.
Very cool.
So, very proud for him. But, yeah, thanks to all of you guys that share and retweet the show every week. It really means a lot to us, and as it helps us climb, then those iTunes reviews help us climb the ratings. Got a new one of those this week, too.
We're doing pretty good. Thanks to you guys.
And you guys are doing great at buying your Christmas stuff through the Amazon link.
We appreciate that very much. We appreciate Amazon giving us the opportunity to do that, you know. And, you know, we can always use some help around here, keep this show free as we always want to.
I had a listener, I'll go ahead and give credit where it's due, Eric Reed, a listener, like a week or so ago, bought a T-shirt. And then today sent me a message and said he had been building up his Amazon cart for his Christmas list.
Yeah.
Spent $500 through our click-through link today.
Wow.
So thank you so much, Eric.
Wow. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much.
You're geek of the month for that.
Geek of forever.
Right. So we got a lot to get to. And it's broken down in segments and we'll be in and out. And this first segment you're going to hear is basically me talking with Chad as we get the day started.
Awesome.
I show up and Chad immediately grabs my face and starts spraying like pink coloring on my beard. So he gave me and along with everyone else a pink beard in honor of Daryl.
Kick ass.
So I was like, okay, now I fit in. So it was me and a whole bunch of bikers and Chad, and this is what it sounded like. Decibel Geek Podcast here with Chad Lee. We are at Ride for Dime. This is the beginning, right? Or have you been here a while now?
I've been here since yesterday.
Oh, wow.
We had Nick Bocott flew in last night, and some of my high school friends rode their bikes in from Chicago and had guys ride their bikes up from Florida. And this morning they carried three garbage bags of bottles and cans out of my room.
That sounds about right. You took it easy last night.
Yeah, okay. Easy.
Okay. So, because I got up about 6:30 and I saw your last Facebook thing was like, it said like 4 hours ago. I was like, holy shit. So we're at it's Bumpus Harley Davidson in Murfreesboro.
Nice sunny day.
Yeah. First time doing it in Murfreesboro,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
So how does this compare to doing it in Nashville?
Well, so far, man. Last year we went out of a bar restaurant.
Right.
Because I thought that'd be kind of a cool idea. It was a biker bar, but I don't think, you know, having it at a dealership and Harley involved with us, you know.
Yeah.
It helps with the advertising and you get a lot more crowd and it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's a nice area out here.
Right. So we're surrounded by cool bikes, lots of cool people. I'm looking at a Far Beyond Driven Dean guitar right in front of me.
My buddy Josh from Dean Guitars sent us up two of those to raffle off this weekend.
It's beautiful.
We got two more guitars that Crazy Dave's Music out of Florida donated.
Cool.
One of them signed by Korn and the other signed by Hailstorm.
That's a trip, man.
Anybody that bought the ticket is entered to win the Korn guitar.
Yeah.
We got ice cold Coors Lights, hot dogs, and pink beards everywhere.
Yeah, I said we had a vulgar display of wieners.
Yes.
So, we got loud bikes and got Pantera blasting through the speaker. So you couldn't ask for a better Saturday.
No, not right now.
Okay, so who do you got working with you here?
Oh, man. We got Michelle over here. She was a Diamond coach. Cynthia, she's one of our sponsors, Nashville Sign and Graphic.
Cool.
They made all of our passes, our posters. She's just been a big supporter and a help, you know. Cynthia!
Yeah.
Come here for a second. All right, we'll get her in a minute.
We'll get her in. I can always hit pause.
Jennifer, Liz. Jennifer Mikkel, I haven't been able to come up with a title other than my right hand.
Frog.
Because she's kind of cute and I want to jump her.
Hi, Frog. I'm Lizard.
That's weird.
We were doing Smokey and the Bandit shit all night.
Right, Frog and Lizard. Yeah.
So we had a Smokey and the Bandit reference on the last week's show we did with Luke Carl, so that makes sense. We're on a roll.
Jennifer, I don't know. To Jennifer, tell her what you do for us.
Marketing, PR, publicity.
Yeah.
Organization.
Cool.
All the tech pack stuff, getting everybody aware, snapping that whip.
Babysitter.
Like,
10 minutes.
Okay.
Got 10 minutes.
So, and this is Liz.
Liz Tweedy.
Liz Tweedy. Okay. Hi. Chris Senza. Nice to finally meet you.
Yeah.
So, I also wanted to document Chad's sobriety state at this point in time, and then we'll check back in later.
Two beers. I'm feeling
very good.
Good
right now.
Yeah.
Two beers and a little Mother Nature. Never hurt anybody.
Okay, cool.
And as much as he partied last night, he was actually up before the alarm this morning. I was very proud of him.
Yeah, we got to breakfast and my alarm went off.
That's
very
cool.
Proud of him, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, so that's the beginning of Ride for Diamond. We'll check back in later.
Yeah, I might not know my name later, so as long as you can remember it, that helps.
I'll remind you.
All right.
So that gives you a little idea of where things stood. This was about noon on that Saturday, and it was a beautiful day.
Chad Lee's awesome.
Great. It was a great time.
And, love that guy.
Chad's funny, man, and he is. He worked his ass off this day,
man. Oh, yeah, he did, man. He was running around all well into the night, man. He was just running, working hard.
So, and then we'll quickly get here into segment two, and this is, among most of the stuff on this is a guy named Brent. That is one of Chad's friends from high school that rode his bike all the way down from Chicago.
Nice.
And here's Brent. All right, back Ride for Dime Nashville. Chris Senzak. And what's your name?
Here's Brent.
Brent, and you are a personal friend of Chad's, right?
Yeah, Chad and I went to high school together, so I've known him for most of my life.
Okay, so before we get into Pantera talk, what was Chad like in high school?
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate myself.
So the person we see today, is this Chad mellowed out compared to high school?
No, he's pretty much the same guy back then. Yeah, same dude, you know.
Cool.
Good guy to hang out with, have a beer with.
So you were going to concerts and stuff with Chad back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of memories going to local bands, you know, checking out shows at the VFW and with Chad back in the day. So
did you see Pantera together back in the day?
No, unfortunately, we kind of lost touch. And then actually, you know, technology's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
We reconnected through Facebook. I was living down in Dallas for a while and hooked up with him down there when he was on tour with Mayhem.
Cool.
And, you know, got to come out to Ride for Dime this year, as well as down in Dallas 2 years ago.
So you're a Pantera diehard.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So what's some of your favorite Pantera tunes? Just off the top of your head.
Probably Walk. I mean, who doesn't like Walk? Fucking Hostile.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that.
No, say so whatever you want. It's the internet. It's all good.
Yeah, you name it. I mean, honestly, I don't know that there's even a bad one.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I was telling him when we had him on the show that I've never met anyone who said, I used to be a Pantera fan.
No, I mean, it's
once you're
those,
a fan,
you're a fan for life.
Yeah, nothing will change that. So you drove all the way, did you ride your bike from Chicago all the way down here?
500 miles yesterday.
Wow, that's dedication, man.
Yeah, I got a sore ass.
Cool, I bet. So you're gonna take part in the ride here in a couple hours, and then you're going to be at the show later, right?
Yes, sir.
Cool, so I'm done. I thought it was good to get kind of a fan perspective other than just Chad and these other, well-known folks you're going to hear
gives
from.
Gives you kind of a feeling, like I said at the top of the show, the family atmosphere going on down there, and just the immense amount of love for Dimebag Darrell that was being shown down there. It was an amazing place to be.
It was. And this was at Bumpus Harley-Davidson in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Brent was a nice guy. I wish he would have opened up about what Chad was like in high school, but he wanted to keep it to himself. Maybe I'll get it out of him next year, because he's going to come down next year, I'm sure.
Right on.
Okay, this is segment three, and I was really excited to get this guy on, because I've been an admirer of his, especially, not only for his guitar playing, but for his writing for Guitar World magazine for years. This is Nick Bocott, who you'll know from Guitar World magazine and also from Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper!
One of the greatest videos of all time.
Love it.
See you in hell.
That guy was so cool.
He was a super nice guy, and here's my little chat with Nick.
You think this was the way? us here at the Ride for Dime Nashville, standing with Nick Bocott, who many of you will know from the guitar magazines and also from Grim Reaper. Nick, welcome to Nashville.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great ride and a great show tonight.
So, and Chad tells me you're doing something interesting on stage involving Pantera riffs.
Yeah, I worked with Dime on his column.
Uh-huh.
It was supposed to, for Guitar World, it was supposed to be six. We did 64. So I had the honor, probably the best job on the planet, is they would pay me to sit with him four or five times a year, like on a tour bus in a hotel room backstage or at his house in Arlington. And he'd show me how to play his stuff.
Right.
And like I said, they paid me for it. So.
Yeah, that's something you would almost want to pay yourself to
exactly.
have the honor of doing.
And long story short, the funeral, I worked for Marshall Amplification.
Right.
And I used to do a sequence of like 100 riffs with a backing.
Uh-huh.
And at Dime's funeral, Zach said you should do one of those for Daryl and come and open for me. So I ended up putting this thing together, and it started off, I thought it was going to be 5 minutes, it's 15 minutes, but it's like, yeah. I think it's 64 riffs and three solos.
Wow, that's incredible. So
his legacy is so huge, man.
Yeah, yeah. You have to squeeze a lot in to give a full tribute to somebody like that. Well, what are your memories of Daryl as a person?
This might sound
like, tape.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, this might sound like a cliche, but probably the nicest person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, I've never heard anything negative about the guy.
No, he was a sweetheart. He treated his fans with the utmost respect. He treated his fans how he'd want to be treated because he was still a fan.
Yeah, yeah, he seemed like he was a real music lover. Like, he had almost a childlike spirit to him.
Oh, definitely. You know? Boy, could he drink.
Yeah. Well, Chad summed it up real well when we had him on. Because he says people would always say, "I wish I could have met Daryl," and he'd say, "No, I wish you could have met Daryl."
No, I think that's one of the you couldn't put it better than that.
Right.
And that's what both myself and Chad tell a lot of people is that I wish you had a chance, because we can tell you stories.
Right.
But if you actually met the guy, you'd get it.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about seeing these events being pulled off all over the country? You know, and we're pushing 10 years now.
I mean, that just goes to prove how giant the shadow he cast was, pun intended.
Right.
He cast a shadow.
Yeah, he cast a huge shadow, and it's not going to diminish, it's going to grow.
Right, yeah, it just seems to get bigger every year. So I'm excited to see you play tonight, and hopefully in the future get you on the show to do a full-on talk about your career.
Well, I'd love to do that.
Because,
that'd be great.
My co-host Aaron and I are big fans of yours. So.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So, love reading your article and everything, and love your guitar playing.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome.
I'll give you $5 for that.
Okay, we'll do, and then we'll settle up later tonight at the gig.
You got it, brother.
All right, thanks.
Great guy, and as he said, there's no better job than being assigned to hang out with Daryl and play music with him.
Right, you're getting paid to do that. Nick Bocott would go on that night to do this amazing thing on stage where he did this awesome guitar
65
medley.
65 riffs of Daryl.
All slammed into one kick-ass long song. It was super Pantera, Dimebag, Daryl medley.
It was a real highlight of the night. Especially
it was beautiful.
Coming from a guy who was a personal friend of Daryl's, too.
Right, and got taught exactly how to do every one of those notes, and did it right to T and just was amazing.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Totally.
And one of the biggest charity that that the Ride for Dime Nashville supports is Rock Against MS. And as you'll hear, it was founded by Steve Stevens, a great guitar player.
Yeah.
And part of why Chad got Rock Against MS as one of the charities on here is his friend Nancy Sale, who, as you'll hear, worked with some pretty big names in the music industry. So you'll hear that. And then, of course, you'll hear Chad's interesting anecdote about Zach Wilde and his, you'll hear.
Podcast, Chris, with Chad Lee, who's going to introduce you to somebody that's very special to this event here.
This is my friend Nancy Sale. Nancy's kind of a guest of honor here today. She's the reason that they started Rock Against MS, and if I say something wrong, stop me, but I think I met Nancy in 2001, 14, 15 years ago, And she was working for Zach, and we all started working with Zach and yada yada around the country and whatnot. And as a publicist, she hooked me up with some companies. She's the reason why I have the Monster endorsement and work for those guys. And Nancy has been a giver all her life, animals and people. And I'll go ahead and let her say what happened and why we do this for her now.
I pay them very well to do this for me. That's why. Thanks, Nick. I have MS, and I can't talk about it.
I'll continue that. I mean, as she was a giver, all you know, forever. Name some of the bands that you worked: John 5, Rob Zombie, Tommy Clufetos, Zach Wilde, the Dimebag Darrell for a while, Janie Lane. Winger,
Cavalier Conspiracy,
Fun Gone Wrong. Who's playing?
Yeah, we're gonna see them in a few hours.
Steve Stevens started
because
Rock Against MS.
Because of
really, I didn't know
what
that.
She's got going on. Nancy can't work like she used to anymore,
right.
And things, you know, happen and start piling up. And again, her being a giver, I wanted to give back to somebody that gave to me.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of goodwill in this event. So I mean, you can just looking around at all the people here, and then it's gonna be a lot of people here at the show tonight. So glad you could be part of this.
Well, it's really cool. Yeah, it's weird when you start talking about it yourself.
Right.
Because it gets you kind of...
Yeah.
But Steve Stevens and Billy Morrison of Billy Idol started it for me.
Okay.
I was also diagnosed with a brain tumor, which I still have. And they started this whole thing, and everybody from the Foo Fighters to Rick Springfield to Orianthe, Rob Zombies, everybody showed up.
Robbie Krieger.
Last year was with the Doors. Robbie Krieger came. Just everybody, because I've been in the business for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so I've got good friends.
That's nice when the people you've helped out for all those years pitch in and help you out, and you know, in return.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it's really cool.
A lot of people in the rock world with big hearts. So.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Big cocks.
And I cannot lie.
This just took a very weird turn.
we're not
Ride
sure.
For Mix-a-Lot.
We're really not sure why Chad knows about big penises, but...
Chad,
do
tell
I know us. What I know about my big penis?
No. You said the rock stars had big penises. I'm thinking...
Anyway, so
you got to see Chad's back tattoo, actually.
Oh, come on.
This started out so heartfelt, and then you derailed it. Way to go.
I know. I think it's because he saw Zach's penis one time.
More than once.
Well, we've both.
I've seen his penis more than any man should see another man's penis.
And
you can edit that.
No, I'm keeping it.
And Zach
used to do this thing. You'd go up to him, and you go, hey, dude, you know what time it is? And he would whip his dick out and wrap it around his wrist and go, wristwatch, bro.
Wow.
Daryl related. At the funeral, man, everybody was fucking just annihilated. And the day of the funeral, Zach was just running, bouncing around like a fucking, you know, a polar bear in a cage. And they send him down to my room. I'm throwing up fucking vodka cranberry from the night before. And literally, I'm in bed just like at death's door. And I said to somebody, what time is it? And up comes Zach, who doesn't shower but once every 17 days. Dude, wristwatch. And I threw up right in the fucking bed. And I'm just like, somebody please take him away.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, you wouldn't need alcohol to throw up from
it
that.
It cleared the room, dude. There was like 13 of us in there. Wow. Empty.
So that's the Zach Wilde portion of this show. But Nancy, wonderful to meet you. Thank you for coming on.
Oh man, Chad Lee is crazy.
Yeah, that was.
It's like you're in the middle of this heartfelt conversation, you know, and talking about how rock and rollers are, you know, out there helping people out, being good people, and all of a sudden he comes out with, you know, all that crazy stuff.
I'll never think of a wristwatch the same way again. Oh, sorry, Chad. It was too good of a story to leave it out, so I had to keep it.
I'm glad you left it in.
Yeah. As disgusting as it is.
That guy's comedic timing is priceless.
Right.
But otherwise, man, that was a great conversation.
I'm glad Nancy was able to come on and talk about that a bit.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She was super nice. And then Chad took me into the building and met the owner of Bumpus Harley-Davidson, and he came on and talked with us and seemed a little I'm not going to say freaked out, but, you know, he's dealing with a pretty rough-looking bunch.
Yeah.
All good people, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, but I gave him a little bit of ribbing about that. So here's a quick little talk with Tom Bumpus of Bumpus Harley-Davidson.
The Geek Podcast here at the Ride for Dime at Bumpus Harley-Davidson, and who better to talk to from Bumpus Harley-Davidson than the guy with the name, Tom Bumpus. How are you doing?
I'm absolutely great today. So, glad you guys joined us.
So you're surviving this experience with crazed metalheads coming into your store and taking it over.
Everywhere.
Yeah, with including myself. Thanks, Chad. But so how does it feel to host this event right here?
We're always happy to have a crowd.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, being in the motorcycle world, we know that bikers have more fun than people do. And
absolutely,
it's great to have you guys out here and
yeah,
come join in the fun at our place here today.
Yeah, so, well, all I've got is a bicycle, so I'm just here with the microphone. But
That's two wheels.
Yeah,
that's a good start.
It's two wheels, but no motor. You know, I have to work. I have to graduate to that level. But so we're here, you know, doing this event for a really good cause, for the Ride for Dime, for Dime Bag Daryl from Pantera. And from what I gather, you know, you guys have provided a great venue here for people to just congregate and, you know, talk about the music they love and talk, you know, compare their bikes and get ready to hit the road, which they're going to do within minutes. So I got to make this quick.
Yes.
But so give us a little rundown on the store and where people can find you guys.
Well, Bumpus Harley-Davidson, we've been in Tennessee in motorcycle business, in Harley-Davidson business for a little over 25 years. We've been in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a little over 15. And if you haven't been in motorcycle, come check out our backyard. Some fantastic riding here. But you can find us in Memphis, Tennessee, Jackson, Tennessee, Collierville, Tennessee, Lynchburg, Tennessee, and here at this store in Murfreesboro. So
cool.
Find us anywhere.
Very cool. So thanks for coming on. And so Pantera fans, you got a place that hosted an event in honor of Dimebag Daryl. So if you're going to buy a new bike, buy it through Harley-Davidson. And if you're in Murfreesboro, come to Bumpus Harley-Davidson. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
Absolutely.
You have to respect a business that supports something like this.
Absolutely. You know, Harley-Davidson is great, you know, and you know everybody loves them, and it's awesome right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that they were a part of it.
Yeah.
And if you're in the Tennessee area and you're looking for a motorcycle, I highly recommend those guys.
Absolutely. And you, so as you heard on there, you know, the revving really started towards the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
So that was when the ride started, and it was time for me to go. And I was going to go home, but then, like, I was talking to Nick Bocott and all these other people that were going over to the club, and
yeah,
I was like, well, when do the doors open? I'm like, ah, fuck that. Just come over with us and hang out.
Right.
So I got to go over and watch sound check and everything. And
sweet. See, day in a life.
It was great. And then Aaron showed up with his wife, and we were off, and it was a great show. And have two more lengthy talks. The next one is about 8 minutes, and then one that's really long. But Aaron came, and there was some really good bands on the bill. Second Skin was a good one that I saw.
Yeah, those guys are really good. I like that.
And Fun Gone Wrong.
Yeah, those guys were cool,
the
too.
The bags over their heads.
Good band, though.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any bad entertainment in there at all.
No, not at all.
There was, and it was filled with a lot of metal fans and Pantera fans.
Yeah,
so,
Kissed down there.
Kissed, yeah. And so while we were there, you know, Chad was like, well, you know, I can help you get some of these people on, you know, out in the backstaging area. And Jose Mangan from Sirius XM Liquid Metal was the main MC for this event.
Yeah, it was great. I'd just be hanging out, drinking a beer, and Chris would be like, Jose's ready. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, and this guy, if you don't know who Jose Mangan is, the guy works his ass off. You know, we think Luke Carl is busy with his schedule, and then, as you'll hear, Jose's even busier than Jose kind of was it. Kind of Luke's teacher when he got broke into radio.
Oh, nice.
And Jose
is his Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He barely was. And he's a huge Pantera fan.
Yeah.
And as you'll hear.
And a fantastic host that night.
Yeah.
And that guy kept the energy up, hyped.
Yeah, he
sure
did. He did. He's a really cool guy. So
and played on stage with some of the bands.
Yeah, he
was
did.
Singing and everything. Did an awesome job.
So, yeah, here's our talk with Jose.
To hang out with Dimebag Daryl and learn how to play his riff.
I mean, dude, Dimebag influenced all of us.
I met him when I was in high school.
Really?
Yes, sir. I sold some weed for a backstage pass nice. In Phoenix, Arizona.
That seems to be a running theme. That's how you get backstage.
I was able to, meet him and meet Rex and meet Vinny, not Phil. And I think Chad's on stage, right? I'm not sure if I'm supposed to go on stage right now.
I get in trouble.
It's all good. But you know what, dude, Dimebag, I do anything and anything for him. I'm a follower, I'm a worshiper, and anything I can do to help his spirit and his music carry on, I'm gonna do, man.
Yeah, so, and those of us that know you from the radio know that you are a massive Pantera fan.
Dude, I sing Pantera songs in my sleep, elevators, escalators. Yeah. I do a lot of. I'm a diehard Pantera fan, and I have been since I was a little kid when their fifth album came out, Cowboys from Hell, and then I went backwards. But for me, dude, you know, I teach my two children who are 8 and 11 WWDD. What would Dime do?
Nice.
So that's how I live my life. Like I go into a situation, WWDD. What would Dime do?
Right.
What Dime would do?
Yeah.
So I try to live my life that way. And carry his spirit and his love and his positivity, man. Because he always made everybody feel golden when they were. I was 16 when I met him, and he made me feel like I was gold.
Right.
And he made me feel like I was the biggest deal in the world, and I was nothing. I was just a long haired Mexican metal dude, Pantera fan, massive fan, and he treated me like gold. So for that. To happen back then, and to me to be in the position that I am today, dude, I'm gonna fucking just support him and his band and his music, and you know that's lifelong stuff. So
the first time I saw you was on a home improvement show where they had
man
like
caves
a
on DIY.
A man cave for you.
Yes, sir.
How far back is that?
7 years. Maybe
7 years.
Now. Yeah, I applied. You know, like most of us, you know, we struggle with bills and with doing things for the home. And I remember I get just, you know, smoking maybe some herb on a Sunday morning and riding into the shows because I was fed up. I was like, I'm not going to. These are all dorks on these shows. Where are the metal dudes? Where are the long hairs? Where are the metal guys?
Yeah.
And so we're the real people. We're the Mexicanos. We're the Latinos.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. And that, so I dogged them out on it. I wrote an essay and I was like, hey, where are the fucking brown dudes?
Yeah.
You know, where are the rock dudes? And then so they wrote me back and I was on the show right away. And that man cave is infamous.
Yeah.
And so many bands have stayed and played in there. And, you know, so I'm just very fortunate to have that happen to our home.
Yeah.
It costs money. Yeah. It's not something that it's just like one of those things where they're going to hook you up. No, it costs money.
Yeah.
And it cost us money that we didn't have.
Yeah.
But it was worth it in the end.
Yeah,
looking back years later.
Yeah, because where you're at now, right?
Well, dude, you know, but at that point, dude, it was credit cards, bro.
Right.
You know, it was like we had no money, dude.
Yeah.
I wrote this show so I can get something hooked up in my basement, not so I can pay for something.
Right.
But there was a budget and there was a whole thing. So
cool. Man. Well, we had last week we had Luke Carl on the show.
I love Luke Carl.
So,
dude.
Yeah.
He's my student.
Yeah.
At SiriusXM, I am his father, like. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, when we told him that we were possibly going to get to talk to you tonight, he said, if you think I'm busy, why don't you talk to fucking Jose?
Yeah, well, so, you know, that is true. But, I mean, I do have a wife and two kids and a lot of responsibilities with SiriusXM, and I work for Affliction, and I also do stuff for Jägermeister and G-Pen. And so I do a lot of stuff for entities that I love and I'm passionate about. So I only involve myself with stuff that I love. I wouldn't be doing this ride for Dime, and you know, I don't get paid for this. Any of them?
No,
none of them. None of them, dude. You know, I pay. You know, they'll fly me out, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's the truth. And but I mean, all the expenses, everything. I just do. This is like, this is my donation. This is what I do for the community. How I can give back to Dime fans, to Pantera fans, and. I love being around a nucleus of Pantera lovers.
Yeah.
And it's so, and Ride for Dimes, that's what happens, man. It's just it's a core, and it's all around Pantera.
It's like a family in this building.
It really is.
It's a family everywhere Ride for Dime goes, whether it's Miami, whether it's Philadelphia, whether it's Texas, it's always a big family, and everybody is always super cool with each other and very positive and loving.
Yeah.
What would Dime do? WWDD. Yeah. It all goes back to that. So everybody's very positive, and I always am an honor to be a part of it. And actually, I'm just officially now part of the board of directors.
Oh,
for
really?
Rock for Dime.
Awesome.
And
oh,
I started my own scholarship fund for a needy high school senior or undergrad who's majoring in science, kicking ass, and also loving heavy music.
That's awesome.
It's called Headbang for Science, and I'm going to be doing an annual scholarship award for one deserving student, but they have to love metal. And if you get an advantage if you love Pantera and have a CFH tattoo.
There you go.
So, but I did it myself. I started the nonprofit a few weeks ago.
Awesome.
It's legit in the state of New Jersey. And I'm getting all my paperwork, and I'm doing something to give back to the community. I was a science major. I went to pharmacy school.
Yeah.
I love science and math, and so I want to give back to the metal community
awesome.
By giving them a scholarship award. Somebody that loves Pantera and Slayer.
That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I know you're busy tonight. You're emceeing this.
I have to go back on stage right now.
We do want to get you on to have a full discussion one of these days
and have you
as a guest on the show.
Yeah, dude, whatever you guys want. If it's a phone call, whatever session you need, man. You know, I travel live. You can get me cool or not. We'll do it on the phone or online.
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah, we can do it through Skype.
Yeah, no problem, man. I appreciate you guys supporting the metal scene like you guys do, man.
Cool, thanks, man.
Thanks for the tweet earlier, too, man.
Yeah, definitely. And as we let you get back to your duties as MC tonight, name one Pantera song you think we should spin.
Well, goddamn, that's easy, dude. I mean, one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, but I'm going to say Revolution Is My Name from their last album. That song I'm singing tonight with the fucking Pantera tribute band. And I'm singing another song with Fun Gone Wrong, who's on next. But Revolution is a song that I love to sing with this band called King.
Yeah. Lovely. Awesome, man.
I love those. Those are my family. Those are my friends. And I've been jamming that song with those dudes over a dozen times around the country.
Yeah.
And so I'm singing that tonight, and that's one of my favorites. And,
one of Dime's greatest riffs.
Well, it's a chunky riff. It gets people excited. I love to hurt my body to that song. So I'm going to do that tonight because it's my last one.
Cool.
All right.
Well,
cool,
thanks
man.
For the time.
No,
and
no
you,
problem,
you didn't slur at all, man.
No, I didn't.
Thanks to Jose for coming on. That was really cool.
Yeah, great guy. Liked him a lot.
All right, and then one of the people that we saw get up with one of the bands earlier and play a Black Label song was Nick Catanese.
There was a lot of people that were really, really stoked that Nick Catanese was in the house, and we were definitely
among them. Yeah, and he played one of the Black Label tunes, and then he had just gotten off stage, and then Aaron and I went outside, and we saw Chad, and Nick was like a few feet away from him. Like, you think Nick will talk to us? And he was like, come on.
Yeah.
And he's like, Nick walks over, and as you'll hear,
would he talk to us? Oh, yeah, he'll talk to us.
He'll talk to you.
Super cool guy.
And he talked at length. And this is, you know, I know this is a Ride for Dime special, but Nick had a lot of stuff to update us on because, you know, he left Black Label last year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been like, what's he up to? You know, what's he doing next? And it's a really insightful talk. I never thought we would get this insightful of a talk from somebody in a crowded, you know, backstage area during a loud rock and roll show.
Sure, you guys can definitely hear the ambiance in the background.
You can. And but, you know, Nick was really wanting to open up that night, and
it
he did.
Cool. It and he opened
really
up
cool.
to us. We became fast friends that night with that guy,
we did.
I think.
Super nice guy, and we're going to send him the link to this when it's out.
Get him on again.
Yeah, definitely. We told him,
full
episode. And he's willing to do that. So, yeah, this is about a 30-minute talk we have with Nick, and we'll come back and we'll wrap things up.
So Nick Catanese thinks that Aaron Camaro sounds like or looks like a Pepper Keenan.
No, man. I'm here with Pepper Keenan. Yep.
How are you doing, Pepper?
Yeah, you doing all right?
It's great to be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yep.
How's James doing?
As far as I know, okay.
Yeah. My the only cousin, thing is you didn't have a fork in your ear. That's the way that Pepper always had a fork. I was hungry all the time.
Well, it's cool seeing you up on stage a little while ago.
That was fucking weird.
That was badass, though, man.
No, because I haven't played that song in a year and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was the last song that I played.
Oh, was it?
The band, and it's like, it's crazy. Like we started it, and I'm like, fuck.
So your feelings come flooding back.
I mean, yeah, that was cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and then, you know, the crowd was into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, your tone came right through.
Cool.
I was like, you can hear it. Listen to that fucking tone.
Well, what's funny is they said to me, you're going to do the solo. I'm like, yeah. Then I'm up there, and I'm like, I've never done this. Right, I've never done the solo.
That's what I thought was cool because it was like you started out doing what Zach would do, but then you did your own thing.
I didn't know the rest of it.
But it was badass.
Wonderful ad libs.
Thank you.
Seamlessly back into the song.
Thank
man.
You. Yeah,
it was very cool.
I was going,
very
what cool. the? What am I doing? Okay, well, but it's cool. I'm going to do Becoming.
Oh, really?
With the Pantera band.
Awesome.
Right on.
Then I'm going up with the Kiss band, and I'm doing Cold Gin and She.
Oh, you're busy. Nice.
But I said to the Kiss guys, I go, you know, I'm not coming up there unless I'm made up.
Oh, you're going to put the makeup on?
Fuck, dude. He's giving the Paul guy's giving me armbands and a vest. And I said, I'll wear one Dragon boot, one Paul boot.
Oh.
I said, give me a jean, a Paul, some whiskers. A fucking ace.
You didn't want to paint the onk on your face.
You're the fifth person to say that to me.
Well, he lives out here.
I said no. I want to be the Kiss guy,
right?
Like the one of the four, or make me all of the four.
Yeah, I've read some interviews with you. You're a big Kiss nerd, just like we are.
My first album ever was Kiss Alive 1 when I was probably 5.
Yeah,
because my aunt gave it to me. Actually, my first three was Kiss Alive 1. Ted Nugent, Weekend Warriors,
nice.
And Queen Day at the Races. It was my first three albums.
That's a hell of a
day. It's a blessing to have cool aunts.
Totally.
Yeah.
No records before that. No Kermit Muppet Baby stuff. It was Kiss. Then I had a Kiss lunchbox in kindergarten. So everybody had Kermit, and I had Gene Smith Blood.
Nice.
And I met Paul at NAMM. When I was out at NAMM, he was signing with Washburn with me. I was with Washburn. And Dime actually got me with Washburn. So it was through Dime I got my first signature series.
Yeah.
Paul and I go to, you know, to the booth, and I said, "Who am I signing with?" And they go, "Paul Stanley."
Holy shit! I go,
"Is there another Paul Stanley that I don't know about?" And they go, "Kiss." I go, "Shut up."
So you're talking about the Star Child, right?
Yeah. So he comes walking up, and I'm like, please don't say anything stupid. Like, just, I don't want to have a Twix moment
be
where
cool,
you're just
man.
Like,
be cool.
You know, rewind that part.
Yeah.
First thing out of my mouth, I had a Kiss lunchbox in kindergarten.
And he's like, reaction.
He goes, you really dated me.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I go, but, you know, and his son Evan.
Yeah, we actually
a Black
met him
Label
recently.
Fan.
Yeah.
And he was like 10.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, he's living here for the next like 3 months.
He's a great kid.
Yeah, he was really nice. Kid. We met him the other night.
And, I mean, so it's been Kiss, and it was, for me, Ace,
right?
But when I heard Van Halen 1.
It changed it all.
And it wasn't even Eruption, it was the horns and Running with the Devil, and the fucking pick rake.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. And then he just, and then the phaser, and then the die, because I just started playing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that?
And nothing was like it.
Ever.
Right?
Yeah.
Ever. And still to this day, like me and my dad were saying, he's an alien.
Yeah,
like and a tone chaser, like that guy is like to get the sound he did back then.
Right.
I mean, you figure if you were his tech, you had to have he had 6 heads.
Right.
Through a fucking Variac transformer, so his tech's blowing the heads up during the show.
Yeah.
The heads would blow. He'd switch them out, switch the tubes in that one, so they get the brown sound for the next one.
Right.
And then, so he's fucking pumping these things out. And Ed's up there just fucking ripping. And, and what's funny now that I know more, you listen to Ed's tone, there's not a lot of gain.
Uh-uh.
Like when you hear like he does like the horse thing.
A lot of it's
like,
all in
not
his hands.
A lot of like a, you know, like Dime.
Right.
Never ending fucking
overdrive. Right.
Ed was real dry, had a phaser.
Yeah, never did a lot. No, I mean, it was all
laser, a flanger,
all in the fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, see, that's what's funny is, like, you know, kids would email me and say on Twitter or whatever, and they're like, dude, I got your guitar, I got a JCM 800, I got your pedals, I got, and I don't sound anything like you. I'm like,
because you're not me.
Well, you need a frontal lobotomy.
Right.
To take my brain to have your hands.
Yeah, like, it makes a difference.
You are, like, good or bad,
right,
those are your paws.
Right.
And, like, if Eddie Van Halen plugged into Ace Frehley's rig, it would sound like Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
Ace Frehley plugged into Eddie's rig, Ace.
Yep.
Right.
You know? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, you can get a similar.
Right.
Even, like, when I played with Zach, we played a lot of, like, you know, I have the pentatonics and the pings and the fucking, all that shit. So, if his guitar rig went out, it still sounded like the band.
Right on.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there from the beginning too. So
yeah.
I mean, it's like,
right.
So in essence, you are part of it.
So is it really true that you got in touch with him through finding his email in a magazine?
Metal Edge magazine.
Wow. That's incredible.
I was. The thing that's funny is I was going to go to computer school. I was going to just stop because I mean I play guitar, but like I was in a cover band at home, and they were idiots. And then I was like, if this is the way it is, I'm done. I just, you know, get a job or whatever.
Right.
I saw it. Metal Edge 96 email came out. Big thing. And I'm looking through, and it said Wild Zach or whatever. And I'm like, I said to my buddy, I said, watch this. I said, this will be a trip. Because I bought a Les Paul because of him. And when I heard Miracle Man, I'm like, who is this guy?
Right.
All you seen was hair and a bullseye and those pings and the pentatonics. I'm like, bell bottoms. So I'm like, this is cool. So I wrote, if you ever need a guitar player, let me know. I'm in Pittsburgh. Said,
not thinking you were going to get anything back.
I said, this is hysterical. Because he's never played with another guitar player. 2 days later, I get an email back. It's Wild Zach. As a matter of fact, I do.
Wow.
Could you send me a tape and a picture after I clean my pants?
Wow.
I FedExed him a tape and a picture. It was my old band, me playing.
Yeah.
And then he called me like 3 weeks later, like 4 a.m. This is California time. I'm in Pittsburgh.
Right.
He answered the phone. He's like, hey, man, it's Zach. I'm like, what is happening? Like, I was going to go to fucking college or whatever.
Right.
And in a click of a mouse, my life just fucking went another, you know.
Yeah.
Then,
that's awesome.
So,
that is, it's incredible.
So he says, he goes, hey, do you have any plans in July? I go,
no.
What's up? He goes, well, I'm going to fly to you because I have a show in Erie, so we can kind of do, that'll be our first show. I go, so I got the gig and you never heard me play, like in person. No pressure. He flies into Pittsburgh July 1st. July 2nd is my birthday. Zach Wild's at my house for my birthday.
Wow.
Picked him up at the airport. That's when you can actually go to the gate.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm standing there. Like, what's going on? I'm fucking has a bell bottoms, a fucking cowboy hat. And I'm like.
Nice.
And I'm like, he comes up, hey man, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Comes to my house.
Yeah.
He's eating chicken, playing my guitars. I'm like, then I got scared.
You were waiting for Ashton Kutcher to jump out of the club?
Yeah. You're pumped. Well, no, then I got really scared because I watched him play. And I'm like, there is no fucking way I'm keeping up with this guy. So we did Book of Shadows. It was you know, just me on a 12 string and him on a 6.
Right on.
Astro Van for 36,000 miles in 2 months. Look at me and him and a tour manager and a stage manager.
Yeah.
Wow.
I drove. We didn't let him drive. in gear. So Astro Man. After we got done with that, he said, and I remember him in the van going, "I'm never playing acoustic, or I'm never playing electric again." I'm thinking, really, man? Like I'm with Zach.
Yeah.
You're not gonna play electric.
So it's like
again.
Eric Carr showing up at the Kiss and goes, "We're gonna write this cover album."
Yeah. So
what?
So down the line, he calls me and goes, hey, I want to put together, you know, an electric heavy band. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So he goes, I want you to be in the band, but practice. I go, okay, I'll practice. So I boot camped, fucking practice. I don't know. So we went to SummerSlam that year.
Yeah, wrestling.
Stone Cold fucking invited us. And
Zach a big wrestling fan?
Well, I mean, we got in with Stone Cold and Undertaker and stuff like that.
Yeah, Stone Cold's a big rap metal fan.
I'm still friends with, you know, Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy and all those guys. And so we went to SummerSlam. Zach pulls out the black and silver bullseye.
Yeah.
The mirror one. Because here, check this out. He's like, oh, cool, playing.
Yeah.
And no, he was watching me to see if I practiced.
Right.
And I got done playing. He goes, we'll be all right. I'm like, that was a fucking audition. And I didn't even, thank God I didn't know. So we went from there, and Black Label came, and I mean, and I, it was funny when I got with him in the beginning. I was like, oh, this will be a month.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I can say I played with him 17 years later.
Wow.
You know, I mean, which is pretty cool that you can say that you were his guitar player.
Right. Yeah.
For that long. You know, it's
very cool.
It just became, you know, like that's his band.
Right.
You know.
So you got to the point where you were like, I'm ready to do my own thing now.
Well, I mean, I never played on a CD.
Yeah.
You know, the whole time I was there, I never played on a CD.
Right. Because he does everything.
Yeah. And it's like every new guy that came in got to play. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman play together. Like, you know, but I understood my role. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm getting to see the world. I'm getting to play, whatever. You know?
Right.
And that was before it just started kind of getting, you know. And the older I got, I'm like, as a musician, look at yourself and go, what are you doing? Like, you're succeeding to a certain level.
But at a level you can't.
Because it's, you're standing next to an entity as a guitar player.
Yeah.
That you can't fucking, like, it's Zach.
Right.
It's not just fucking Joe Schmo.
No, he's like,
it's Zach
who
he invented a style.
Right.
You hear him, even like tonight when I did this song, you can hear the bends and stuff. I mean, he invented that
style.
Yeah,
he's influential.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had to go. Like the last tour we did with Megadeth, I knew, you know, and that was hard. You know?
Yeah.
Like the last show that we played, I was like, I knew, like the last show, and it was weird that we did Stillborn. That was the last song that I played with the band, and it was like, and when I played it, I knew that's it, you know, and it was tough, man. It was like, it's like a 17-year divorce,
yeah,
you know, because you have the people that are with you.
Right.
People that think you're a dick. And it's like, dude, I said, you devote 17 years into anything and come talk to me.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Okay?
Sure.
Ace Frehley wasn't in Kiss for 17 years.
No.
I was there through 6 bass players and 7 drummers. It was me and him.
Right.
I was there from the beginning. You can't say that I didn't put my time in.
Right.
Oh, you did.
You worked for McDonald's for 17 years. You own it.
Right.
No. Yeah. So you put 17. There's, you know, because I'm working with the School of Rock now.
In
Pittsburgh, and it's honestly, it brought the spark back to me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was rough, man. I mean, I quit last November, so a year almost now. It was still.
Well, are you still doing this project with Morgan from Seven Dust?
No, I kind of took a side road, but
yeah.
I mean, I love Morgan. And, but I mean.
There were
circumstances
from,
that just, like, I couldn't take a back seat anymore.
Well, there was a lot of schedules at play with that group.
It was people that I thought were, it wasn't Morgan, it wasn't Kevin, was like, I'm not, like, I took a back seat to a guy that's an idol.
Right.
That's fine. You think I'm going to take a back seat to somebody else?
Right.
My fuse is this big.
Right.
And I deservedly to do something. You know what I mean? And it's not even honking a horn.
Right.
It's like having Slash in your band and you go, you're playing rhythm.
Yeah.
Right.
You're no longer playing the intro of Sweet Child. You're going to go, gunk, 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 gunk. You're like, what are you talking about, man?
Like, because right now it's your time to step out of the shadow that you've been in.
Well, that's why I quit,
so
to become creative. And,
right.
like, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is turning into the same thing again.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like with Black Label, it's a different level.
Right. Yeah, well, it's like, otherwise, why did I leave?
I got the
yeah.
producer, or no, Zach Wilde. I know Zach Wilde. You, sir. Right? I mean, it didn't even come to that. It was the disrespect.
Yeah.
Of, like, not even talking to me and saying, hey, I'm going to do a solo.
Right.
Like, I just got the songs and it was a solo. I'm like, well, and then he didn't understand why I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude.
No, you got to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
And I'm like, bro, all you had to say is, what do you want?
Right.
You know? And he goes, well, you can have the outro.
No.
He's dictating to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I've dealt with 17 years of this. I'm not doing it again.
You know? So, yeah. I mean, playing with Morgan was amazing. Kevin, outstanding.
Yeah, good musicians. Yeah.
It's like, he sounded like Robert Plant. I mean, just amazing. And it was cool to actually be in a room.
Right.
And write.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I was bummed.
Right.
You know, I was just like, dude, fucking really? Like, I got something and I was really fucking happy about it. Fucking shit on me. You know? And I was like, so I got it. That was another funk.
Right.
And I was like, fuck this. Fuck this whole thing. You know what? If people, because I, you know, if I'm your friend, I'm your friend.
Right.
I just met you guys. We're buddies.
Yeah, right. Man.
We're going to hang out, whatever. Right. I mean, it's like, and that's real. It's not being like, it's real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I'm weird. Because there's a lot. Like, if people come up to you, dude, I love you, man. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, but there's
and
a lot
away,
of that.
It's like, right?
Yeah.
What is that?
There's,
man? Yeah,
there's a lot
there's
of
a
that.
Lot of people like that in
it
the
is,
world. You
it
know.
Is. But when you
not
meet
here,
and you, yeah,
not tonight.
No, yeah. No, this is all good.
This has been all family tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
And it, you know, and it's like the last thing ever. I never want to be bitter because at the end of the day, you're still playing music.
Right.
Okay. I'm not working construction. I'm not putting roofs on.
Right.
I'm still playing guitar. And it's funny because people are like, well, where's your band? I said, I don't have a deadline.
Right.
Do you understand? I spent 17 years on the road.
Right.
I'm now enjoying my fiance. I'm enjoying my mom and dad. This is the first Halloween I'm going to be home for in almost 10 years.
Yeah, you have to get used to regular life again.
Yeah. And I love it. I love waking up in my bed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like...
We take that for granted.
No.
You know?
I said, getting in your car and going to Target is awesome.
It's exciting for you. Right.
Because I'm like, I had to schedule when I had to go get shampoo.
Right.
Or like shirts or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can go shop. You can come home. Like,
go to the movies.
Putting up Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? And then even my girl's birthday was in August. It was the first birthday I was home since we've been together in 8 years.
Wow.
I mean, those little things, man, people don't. They're like, well, we fuck you. You're a musician. That's what you're supposed to do. I said, no, I'm an adult.
Right.
And if I want to be with family, that's what I'm going to do.
You're getting
to
finally enjoy that.
Yeah. I said,
after all that time, you deserve a break.
I said, when I write something and I put something, it'll come out.
Right.
I said, I'm right. I wrote like 25 songs. But I want to write with the right people.
Sure.
You know, I've been in touch with Vinny Appice.
Oh,
I mean,
right on.
That would be awesome.
Because we got together with the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp in Vegas.
Yeah.
I did the Gene Simmons one, and then I did the one with Brad Whitford. I got to play Toys in the Attic with Brad Whitford.
Wow.
Nice.
He lives out here, too.
He's such a good dude.
Him
man.
And Derek St. Holmes are putting another
Derek's
Whitford St. Holmes album. They're making another album together.
Yeah.
I actually got to play Stranglehold with Derek.
Nice.
Which was a trip.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him on the show. We've wanted to interview him for a while.
He's a great guy.
He seems like a really super cool guy.
He's awesome.
But yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. And I mean, I'm happy.
That's good.
You know, I mean, and that's all that matters to me. I mean, there's always going to be people that are on your shit, you know, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? I don't have to prove. But, like, I did my thing, you know?
Right.
I gave a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not 2 years. It's not a year.
No,
it's 17.
Right. Well,
longer than some people have been alive in that band. And it's like, if you're going to, like, talk about that or whatever, my conscience is clear, dude. I gave. I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool with my...
I mean, people are going to say whatever they want, you know. They're going to be assholes,
and here's,
you know. You can't stop.
But here's the thing. Dale Earnhardt said, good or bad, as long as they're talking about you. When they're not, then you worry.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the people that talk bad about me, I'm like, well, if I'm not significant, why a year after I left the band are you still talking to me?
There's passion behind
that. Why do you want... Why do you want... Like, if everything's, like... go ahead. I'm cool.
Right.
I'm happy for Dario. I'm like that he got the gig.
Yeah,
I'm
a good
like,
player.
I talked to him. I called him. I congratulated him.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're doing good.
No, I don't I don't get the sense that you're better at all.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I love Zach. Right. I love the guys. I have no problem. And everybody's making
like this free time euphoria going.
Yeah.
On, you know,
and people are making
time.
Problems.
And,
I'm like, what?
And I'm assuming Zach was totally fine with it too, right? Or did he give you a hard time about it?
No, he hasn't talked to me.
Oh no.
I mean, you know, he's been busy since that happened. So, I mean, it'll come.
I was going to say, damn, all the emails you're getting, imagine how many he's getting.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I'm like, dude,
Nick.
But you know what? Without him, I wouldn't have anything that I have.
Yeah?
I wouldn't have the guitar endorsements. I wouldn't have, and it's working. And also me doing my job.
Sure. You know, he gave you the platform, and you did.
He gave me the platform, and he's the guy. If you suck, you're gone.
Right.
Right.
You know, he's saying, dude, I love you, but you gotta fucking go. I mean, if you can't play.
Right.
I mean, even like the stuff we did for Unblacken. You know,
yeah.
We did that thing.
Yeah.
I did six solos. That's unbelievable. And it was like songs that we never played. So I'm going, this is on a DVD, live TV. And then he kept calling me going, hey man, okay, you're going to do a solo and we'll find it here. I'm like, it's tomorrow. The show is like, he's like, do it.
Yeah.
Like, so if he thought I couldn't,
no,
right, he would be like,
no, he had a lot of trust.
The worst was, I've never played Slide.
Oh,
and
really?
He goes, oh dude, you're going to do the Slide intro and Row Back Home. I go, never played Slide. He goes, do it. I go, well, I said, here's the thing. It's in a week, okay? And Slide, if you're a shit hair off,
yeah,
it's bad.
The little bit that I tried to play it, it's a bitch.
And it was only me and him on keys.
Right.
No drums, no other guitar, just me. So
might as well go up there naked.
My mom and dad, my girl could see when because they watched the thing how tight assed I was up until like the third song.
Yeah.
And when he started doing the thing,
yeah.
And I'm like, please God, just help me get through it. And I played it.
Wow.
And I looked over, he was like,
nice.
That made me feel good.
Well, sure. You know,
he's not like, he can't do this. Like, this is not, you know. And then he actually said after, like, when they were mixing it, he goes, I didn't have to edit anything of your solos and stuff. So that was another, like, not a final thing for me, but I got to at least show what I could do.
Yeah.
You know, which was cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I thank him for that. He gave me that.
Sure.
You know, it was.
But it sounds like you earned it, man.
Yeah.
You earned it.
Dude, I
like you
my
said,
ass
if he
off.
Didn't trust you, he wouldn't have called you up for that spot.
Yeah.
But is.
Let alone cut you free like that.
Right.
Right.
That's badass.
And as good as it is that you're getting family time and going to Target, you will be back.
Oh, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
we heard it tonight.
Just playing. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's me.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta play.
That's good.
You know, I gotta play regardless if it's writing songs and releasing them.
Right.
And, you know, whatever. I mean,
I'm looking forward to hearing what you create, man, now that you got the blank canvas to do what you gotta
do.
What's
funny, I had like 25 songs, and they're like, there's one, I got like this hollow body swingster, you know, from Epiphone.
Yeah.
And it's like a big, like, Johnny Cash looking thing.
Yeah.
And I started writing it. So, like, it's like a mixture of like Johnny Cash, Elvis, and with like a Ministry vibe to it. It's like heavy fucking on a swingster, but like with a fucking like pumping drum beat.
Yeah.
With like a down, 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 like a weird. And I'm like, what is this?
Like industrial rockabilly or something?
Yeah.
Nice.
Industrial rockabilly. It's like if Brian Setzer played with Al Jorgensen.
Nice.
But
he's just not out writing songs. He's creating new music genres.
I'm trying.
I'd pay for that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Stop this guy now.
And it's weird. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to it. I've never heard anything like this. And you're adding all these weird sounds and shit in it. But it's fun. You know, I get on Pro Tools and I'm just writing drum beats and
that's
stuff.
Right.
And it's like, I never got to do that. So it's like, that's why I think I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because I'm still finding that. Where is it? Like, what am I trying to do that I don't want it to sound like that, or I don't want to sound like that. I don't want to, like, I'm taking all my influences. I love Elvis. I love Johnny Cash. I love Brian Setzer. I love Eddie Van Halen. I love Motorhead. I love Pantera. I love whatever. Put it in a pot.
Yeah.
Stir it. Puke it out. And see what happens.
Nice.
Then you put like a chain
tattoo. It sounds badass, man. You put it like that.
Why?
How can you go wrong?
Yeah. Everybody loves Elvis, Johnny Cash, and Motorhead.
Sure. Why not? That'd be interesting to hear.
Well, and, when it comes out, I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta say, it's,
they can come back on.
Yeah.
And tell us all
yeah. We have to have you on for a real, you know, actual interview because this is just with the recorder. But
yeah,
I just gotta say, it is so surreal because I grew up in Tennessee. I went to college down the street here to see you, Jose, all this shit for a Dimebag Darrell tribute.
Why else?
In Tennessee, but like this was Hicktown when I was living here in college. And it's just incredible. It warms my heart to see all these people come out for this.
Well, you know what? On ending, people are always like, oh, man, you're so cool with fans and blah, blah, blah. I said, not that I would ever not be, but that was one of the things that Dime told me.
Yeah.
He was like, when you're with a fan, you're with somebody, you're with anybody, you're talking to somebody, what could make this moment more cool?
Right.
Like, that's what, you know, even like live, like playing was secondary.
Yeah.
It was the security guards are in front. I'm putting picks on their heads. Like, and the people in front are, like, laughing, and he don't know why. And I'm like, see how many, get, you know, picks I can stack.
Yeah.
And then, like, he'd do it, and then I'd, you know, give him a fist bump. And then, like, I'd see a Van Halen shirt or I'd see a Kiss shirt and, like, point them out, you know, and, like,
right.
be that. And, like, people
yeah.
now are like,
connect. Yeah.
People are like, nobody does that.
And no.
I'm like, well, I learned that.
That's a special thing that he told you.
And Dime yeah. did that. The greatest thing I'm... like really good friends with this guy, we call him Papa Willie.
Yeah.
He's in a wheelchair. And he's always like, and it was weird because the first time I seen him, he was at a Black Label show.
Yeah.
And all I saw was his wheelchair crowd surfing.
Nice. I think
over
I've seen
the
pictures
crowd.
Of that.
Yeah,
wow.
Red haired dude, the
yeah.
head banging.
Wow.
He told me, Papa Willie said, when he went to a Damage Plan show, he said he was sitting in front and Dime came down and was like, had the headstock
yeah.
right by him and was headbanging. And they were both, you know, his beard was like here and they were like headbanging.
Oh, that's,
I go,
that's sweet.
But when he told it, he was like tearing up.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
meant so much
he
to him.
He had such a good heart.
And I'm like, that's where, if you can do anything like that.
Yeah.
Do, you know, even like people taking pictures and you're like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, I'm like, dude, whatever.
I'm going to bug
Stay.
You for a picture when we
and
hit the
you can get as many as you want.
Okay.
I mean, it's like... oh, that's so hard. Like,
right.
people are like, oh, I'm busy.
That's tough, man.
Check it out.
Life.
You're busy. These people are here to see you.
Right.
That's putting money in your bank account.
Right.
They're
Guess
not making
what?
Money.
Next week, they're going to be too busy to go buy your T-shirts and
CDs
you know
what?
And everything else.
I've been lucky enough that everybody I've met has been cool.
Right
so
on.
Luckily, I've never, like, as you know, I met James Hetfield. I met Eddie Van Halen. I met Dimebag, Zach, all these guys.
Yeah.
That have been fucking awesome. And
nice.
I'm like, I've never had to go home and burn my records.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thankfully,
like,
no
go,
horror story.
No.
I get nervous about
yeah.
that sometimes. You mean,
oh,
you really
it does happen.
Completely,
yeah.
man. You know, and I've been, you know, lucky, you know, being friends with Jason Newsted and all these guys. I'm like, that I looked up to, that I'm texting.
I'd like to hear you and him do something together.
Yeah.
I went down there, dude, he invited me down to
you
his
guys
house.
Could write some cool shit.
He said to me, he goes, listen, because I was kind of talking to him during that tour, because Newsted was out with us, and I was
yeah.
kind of venting to him. He goes, when you pull the trigger,
yeah.
call me.
I'd
goes,
love to hear
goes,
what
if
y'all
anybody,
put together.
Well, no, because if anybody knows where you're going to go through, it's me.
Yeah. yeah.
Because I'm 13 years senior at what you're about to do. And he flew me down to Jupiter, Florida, and I hung at his house with him for 4 days, and it was like Yoda, like just
nice.
Talking to me. And like,
yeah, well, that guy knows.
Positive.
Yeah,
and we were jamming. We go to his chop house and jam, and I'm like, jamming. And I was playing bass.
All right.
He goes, play bass. He goes,
really?
Something different. Play bass. I'll play guitar. You play bass. He's like, he goes, you ever play bass? I go, just new. He goes, you're playing bass. I'm like, all right. Like something new is like shedding.
Yeah.
You know, just what is this? I don't know. I'm trying
yeah.
to play. You know, but it was awesome. I mean. Great fucking guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he lives and breathes music. I mean, that's his whole life.
He was saying that he goes, I bought a house in Montana that I have a Marshall half stack on my porch and it's facing a mountain. He goes, it's nothing like waking up in the morning, going out and hitting a fucking E chord and it bounces back off a mountain. I go,
hell
you
yeah.
deserve it.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Deserve
yeah
it.
He's earned that.
Do you remember on Binge and Purge?
Yeah.
Whenever he's in catering.
Yeah.
And Kirk goes, oh,
yeah.
look at him. He's making
sandwiches.
And he goes,
yeah.
I got plans for my fucking sandwich.
Yeah.
I got plans for my millions and
yep.
for fucking sandwiches.
Yep.
He goes, I used that and got the house.
Yeah, he was smart with his
like,
money.
Yep. I mean, that's the shit.
Yeah,
man.
He put everything in savings.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, he seems like a really awesome guy. Cool. Well, all right, before we let you go,
yes.
What one Pantera song do you want us to spin?
Becoming.
Becoming. Awesome. Nick, thanks so much for your time.
So there you have it. That's our day, you know, and then we would continue to hang out and rock out. And, you know, we saw our buddy in the doing Gene Simmons in the,
yeah,
in the
Robert
Kiss.
Bentley.
Yeah, Robert was doing it. He was in rare form that night. That guy was killing it as Gene Simmons.
If you haven't seen him, look him up on Facebook.
Robert Bentley.
He's an incredible Gene Simmons
impersonator. He is my favorite Gene Simmons impersonator.
He's great.
And there's a couple of voice actors I really like a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
One in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, Ken Mills is pretty awesome. And so, yeah, that's the way it went. And, a lot of beer was drank. And
There was.
A tab wasn't closed out, and Aaron helped me out with that.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Bought a few things for himself, but that's okay.
I'm here with the beer.
So, that's it.
So this was, like I said, a celebration of the memory of Dimebag Darrell on the 10th, can you believe it, 10th anniversary of his passing.
Yeah, we missed the guy. But,
God bless him.
Events like this that go on all over the country every year keep his spirit alive. And
yeah, get out there and support these events. Support the businesses that are involved with them. Support the people that are putting them together. You know, support Chad Lee. Everybody loves that guy. Get out there, and he's got his photography going on. Well, I'm sure we'll have the links to all that in the show notes.
All in there, ready to go.
Speaking of stuff we need to plug, the usual stuff. It's Christmas time. You guys are out there shopping. Hit our Amazon link. Go to www.decibelgeek.com. You click on the shopping link, and it takes you to Amazon through us.
Yep.
You buy whatever you want to buy. It doesn't cost you 1 cent extra. Right. But what it does do is Amazon kicks us a little bit of change so that we can help keep the lights on around here and keep this show always free. Decibel Geek Podcast will always be free. One way or another, but we could always use your help, and we appreciate it so much when you guys do it.
Although I do, when we do the Decibel Geek auction, I do have a belt buckle I want to auction for about $30,000. I figure if Vinny can get 60, I can get 30.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff at home I could throw in there.
Sorry, easy joke. It's low hanging fruit.
Yeah, for sure. While you're at decibelgeek.com, you're going to find all these articles written by some of the most passionate, awesome writers in the world, rock and roll writers. We've got them. We've made connections all over the globe with people, and they're reporting back at decibelgeek.com. They're giving us brand new record reviews. They're out there at these shows that we're not able to get to in other parts of the world, and they're reporting what's going on our favorite bands. The best place to check it out, the only place to check it out, decibelgeek.com. If you're listening to us on iTunes, you're on the go. You're one of the people that listen to us on the go. That's awesome. The best way to keep up, subscribe to us on iTunes. That way you're always getting the new episode as soon as it comes out. It may not be out exactly on Monday. Maybe it comes out a little bit early. Maybe the only people that really truly know that are the people that subscribe. That could be you. If you're just chilling at home, decibelgeek.com is the way to hit it on your home computer. Crank it up through your big speakers and enjoy.
All right, so let's bang our head a little bit more with Pantera, and we'll get out of here.
Heck yeah, we got some good stuff coming up these next couple of weeks. The holidays are right around the corner. We got a special gift planned, so stay tuned.
See you next week. Yeah.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.